Anyway, we're live now. That part wasn't live.
Oh, good.
I guess I should open this. At what point do you think... When do kids... what's the word? Start caring and not breaking everything?
I think it depends on the kid.
Okay.
I think... I've met, like, college guys when I was in school.
They just want to break everything?
They just don't care, yeah. Or at least they just become numb to it. Things break anyway. So like, oh no, that happened, bro. I was like, maybe because you threw it against the wall. Like if they're playing like Madden, I remember.
So they're just kind of retarded.
Yeah.
Can you put your mic closer to your mouth?
It's close.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Okay. It'll be fine.
Is that better?
No, but I'll figure it out.
How about now?
There we go.
Okay. Literally touching it.
No, you don't have to do that.
Okay, I will.
No, don't be dramatic. Don't be a woman about it.
What if I want to be?
It's like you could make rice and beans for every meal, and I would be okay with that. Okay. I'd put you in like a jigsaw puzzle with your mouth taped to a microphone.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think some people just, especially boys, they can just be destructive the whole life.
Yeah. I just feel like an anthropologist of children now that I have been around them, which is exactly what people without children think every time they're around children.
Yeah, but you've been around them for a significant amount of time.
Like years. Yeah, watching them develop and how they interact.
Yeah, I think that's different.
Because now baby boy is like ripping stuff out of baby girl's hands.
Oh, yeah.
Just and it's yes, but he wasn't doing that like 2 weeks ago, and now I'm like, oh yeah. He's getting a little more aggressive.
Yeah,
and she'll shove him back, and I'm like, oh,
it's still, probably 4 weeks ago, but yeah.
Well, I guess I haven't been around that much.
Yeah,
I think this is the first time I've just been to your house in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you had your taxes that 1 week. Oof. Yeah, it might have been a month.
Yeah,
the 11th, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, and you brought the seltzer. Good job.
Did we already tap glasses?
No. All right. Needs a nice Kirkland Malbec.
Ooh, I know. So
like $4.99.
Really?
At the business center.
Really? It's cheaper at the business center?
I guess.
It was $6.89 at the regular Costco.
Oh, was it?
Is it really? I bet it would be cheaper at the business center. That's all you need.
I know.
I'm really thinking about getting a pressure cooker, but not the like Instant Pot. Thing,
okay, yeah.
But I mean like the stovetop, latch the top thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of the pro.
That'd be pretty cool.
The pro, yeah, because I think that the Instant Pots are kind of like, they're kind of an aesthetic travesty.
The Instantaneous Pots,
yeah. Instantaneous Potter, Instantaneous Pot.
Pottery or whatever.
Instantaneous Pottery. I think they're kind of like gross looking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they look just bad.
Well, they're going to be dated. Just like there are like 80s... home appliances that just
look remember the old my mom has one from the 80s, the
electric can openers,
the apple peeler with the spinny thing. The apple on and it like rotates a knife around it. Work really well.
I think that was 90s though, but that's still very, because
I think she got hers in like 93 or 92.
Yeah. I remember when that came out.
She still has it. It's awesome. It works really well.
Yeah,
and it just barely, because the obviously the knife or the apple stuck on there on like the corn cob end skewer thing. And it just spins, and then there's this knife that it gets rotated. But the knife just is like spring loaded, so it just rests right on the surface of the apple. As it's like, it's just like a shave, it just shaves it right off. It's really good. There's no waste at all.
That's
like awesome. you couldn't peel it with a regular peeler that well.
Yeah, just some devices just have that look.
I'm trying to think of other bread machines are a big
bread machine.
I still have one and use it. I bought it new like 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's awesome.
We found a used one and it worked.
Yeah.
But for me, the one I remember, it had that same color as those 80s like IBM computers.
The gray.
Yeah, it's like the yellowish gray.
Yeah.
And almost all electric can openers that sat on top of your counter was that same color.
Yep. Ones that you could like mount them to under the counter?
Yep, those were like the rich people. I got that nice
one. I really don't like electric can openers, but that's super 80s.
I know it is, yeah. If you ever see it in someone's house, it just looks dated. It's like, oh, wow.
I love using I actually have my, I replaced my can opener on like a year and a half rotation.
Oh, okay.
Because I nothing makes me as insane as a dull can opener.
Yeah.
Like the second it starts to malfunction in any way, I'm like, I can't. I will never open a can again.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just go, oh my gosh. Like just using a nice manual can opener.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
I just love that the commercial one I have now. I use that even for small cans.
Oh, yeah, the thing, and then, yep. Yeah.
I mean, that'd be
like bam, bam, bam.
And the thing opens up anything.
Yeah,
man.
I know. It could open up a person.
Yes.
Yeah, I miss having one of those.
Yeah. I mean, it opens it quickly.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 done.
Yeah, it's so good.
And it's
because people know exactly which ones we're talking about.
Yeah.
If you've worked in a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
When I went bam, 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 like this.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You go, thunk. Bam, bam, chunk, 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 thump. It's so good.
It's so, yeah, it's so blunt. And
it's so brutal, but it works like a finely tuned.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. There's so much leverage.
Yes. Whenever I work in a back of the house, or now that I like own a restaurant, it always boggles my mind why they don't make residential version of these things.
I know.
Like you could make a residential version of the can opener, mm-hmm. Like connected to a residential kitchen.
Because it could just be like right on the end of the counter.
Yeah, and you can make it look a little less like commercial. Yeah.
Well, it's like function the KitchenAid looks like a home stand mixer.
It does.
And
yeah.
A Hobart looks like a.
Exactly. Yeah, you can like make it look a little prettier.
Yeah, but it could be smooth.
It could be smooth. Yeah,
or you could make a hole in the counter. That would be a little more dated.
Yeah,
putting it right in the counter.
But that's still. Yeah. But these are all ideas that you could work.
And then you could just pull the thing out and put it in the cabinet when you're not using it.
Yeah, because
I'm sure someone's done that.
But
it has to exist.
But obviously, it hasn't caught on.
No, no, no.
And it's weird. It's the same thing like with a commercial microwave.
Is there any?
Like, have you ever, like that place, you know, we have a commercial microwave.
It's huge.
When I look at the price, it's stupidly expensive, mm-hmm. but there's no gimmicks. There's no spinning plate thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's static.
Yep.
But you put like 30 seconds on that thing, mm-hmm. and it comes out piping mm-hmm. hot. I'm like, what?
I know.
What is stopping?
When I was at the Costco Business Center, you know, they sell like, you went today?
Yeah.
Did you look around a little bit more? Did you look and find the sheet trays and the?
I bought some.
Kind of on that wall mm-hmm. as you're walking back there, they have all the countertop stuff.
Yes.
The like commercial grade. And they have like a 12-foot stainless steel counter.
Yeah, we looked at that one.
I want that in my house.
Exactly. I know. Yes.
I'd like a nice, maybe my dream. I love galley kitchens. Mm-hmm. Yours is almost a galley kitchen where it's two walls.
Yeah.
Especially if it's pass through, if there's a door on the end that goes out to a patio.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I get hot and bothered. But if one side was just stainless steel and then the other side was like a nice material.
Yeah.
Just like that. Or like a big chunk of stainless.
Yeah.
Like from one side of the sink over would mm-hmm. be stainless and then everything else could be like a.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like granite as much, but, whatever nice thing. But it's antimicrobial. It's mm-hmm. super easy to clean.
Yep.
You can beat the hell out of it.
Yes. There's so much benefit from
it's
it.
It's like using like mixing. The best mixing bowls are shitty stainless steel mixing bowls.
Yeah. It's the best
ones. Food grade ones.
Yeah.
I use Pyrex in my house because it was given to me. That's kind of the next step down.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But just a giant stainless steel mixing bowl.
And just the simplicity of every commercial things.
It's all, you just know how to use it.
You just know. Mm-hmm. Normally just one knob
uh-huh.
and an on switch.
Yes.
That's it. That's all you fucking need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could buy a $45,000 pizza oven.
Mm-hmm.
With an on switch and a knob of temp.
That's
it. Goes up to 800 degrees.
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay, what else do you need? Whenever I see like these other ovens, is that they have all these like bells and whistles. Like, why?
That's the Wi-Fi ovens now?
Yes.
That pisses me off.
Just everything. LCD screens. Because the other thing I maybe you disagree with me here, but the other thing I dislike is electronic scalers. I just like analog scales. There's no reset.
They don't bother me as much.
Yeah, because
do like a reset.
Yeah, the thing that bothers me is like when you're working with dough, for mm-hmm. example, mm-hmm. your hand gets floury and doughy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like
it just removes the variable.
Yes, yeah. And then the hard part is like sometimes it doesn't detect it.
Oh, like the touchscreen.
Yeah,
because I have one from like OXO Good Grips or something.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like a 10-pound thing.
Yeah,
and it's got hard buttons on it.
Yeah, that might be better. Yeah,
yeah.
But
and the screen actually detaches.
Oh, okay, with a cable. Yeah.
It's awesome.
So yeah, it's just little things like that. Like I really just like analog ones because it's just there. Mm-hmm. You just set it in. Mm-hmm. I never have to deal with.
Well, you can get the knob and zero it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and so, I don't know. Like there's just
almost like at a grocery store, the vegetable scale.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. With the big thing, mm-hmm. and it goes up to like 20 pounds.
Or right. Yeah. 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 There's little things like that I just think I would love it, and the more that I'm cooking in it is the less I ever want to use.
Well, that's anytime I go to buy I need anything for my kitchen, really, I just go to food supply stores.
Yeah,
like all my spatulas, all my ladles, everything are just
because they're so much better.
Like a food service ladle, mm-hmm. just stamped steel.
Yes,
it's the best.
I know,
it's the perfect shape.
Yes,
here. Nice.
But yeah, if there, you know, when I do, I'm so glad I didn't revamp or remodel my home kitchen, because when I do, I think I'm just going to do commercial stuff.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to spend like $20,000.
Like either that or like super simple or whatever.
Yes. But at least some of the items I do, I don't think it could beat it.
The double opening door on a hinge.
Yes. Yeah.
That swings both sides open when you open
it. Yeah. Yeah.
There's the big rack oven.
Yes, just I think the easiest thing would be just
my mom's oven at her house is super well maintained, but it's a Kenmore from like the mid 80s.
Oh yeah,
and it's just straight up nothing. Yeah. There's no controls on it.
Oh yes, yeah,
yeah.
Because even like the stovetop.
Yeah.
Right, just a commercial stovetop. You crank that all the way too high. You got fire just like leaking out of there. Well, it's got the
holes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you could just like saute fucking meat fast.
Yep.
And we got like so many kids.
I know.
We could get it done within.
Because I don't see the point of like a 6-burner stove for a home.
Yeah.
I think like 2 really solid burners would be like.
Yes.
Maybe 3.
Mm-hmm. As long as they get hot really mm-hmm. fast. And can go super low. Yep.
Yep.
And I think that's all that you really would need to feed a lot of people.
Also, the under-the-counter stainless steel fridges.
Oh, right. I know.
I don't know why American fridges are so big.
Yes. Yeah.
They're absurdly large.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really necessary. I think our fridges are kind of weird.
As long as, yeah. As
the
long
French have, door fridges like, right, don't make yeah, sense
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. That's like almost all of them now.
I know. I don't like it. Because my fridge at home is like an old Whirlpool, but it was made for Costco. So it's like a Kirkland Whirlpool fridge. But yeah, it's just the straight up fridge on the bottom, freezer on top door.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
The old white thing. And it just, it's so energy efficient too.
I think part of it is because we don't really have like cellars here. I think that's why. I remember like in Europe, everybody talks about how small the fridges are, but most homes have like actual cellars.
Yeah. And there's like freezers down there. And
yeah.
Stuff
like,
yeah.
And it's just cold at all times. It's like this room, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times they just leave things out in the open in the cellar because it's constantly cold anyway. Because
their houses are all brick.
Yes.
And stone.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they could store stuff there for much longer. And I think like when the commercial things, you know, either you can have a large cooler, because we do have a large cooler and a large freezer, or you have a walk-in cooler, mm-hmm. which, you know, you have the fan in the corner and you kind of can store stuff in there. And then I think if you did have that, you can, because I probably technically could turn this room into a cellar or to a walk-in cooler very easily, actually, because it's already enclosed and everything. You could store stuff in there a lot easier. Mm. But since most homes here don't have that, it's like you kind of need a way to store food for a little longer time.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that there's any solution to it.
Yeah.
I almost.
Or have like under the counter.
China, they keep their fridges in a different room than the kitchen.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. In Belgium,
was a refrigerator.
Yeah. There was a refrigerator and a freezer.
But there wasn't.
Yes. But it was downstairs and we all had our own like little cellar key and we had like a little closet cellar and we could just store the meat there. And that's the way that they,
the fridge is just such a large imposing.
It is
in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. Yep.
You'd free up so much space without a fridge.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. And just having Yeah, just having like a blaster fan and
Commercial hood.
Yeah, I really do think that's what I'm going to do, because if you take all of that but narrow it down to like one small area, mm-hmm. it's still going to cost quite a bit, but it won't be as astronomical as needing
the entire thing. Yeah, you're not getting the fat drain tanks.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Just
you're
just,
not getting a wall of fridges.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I think you can make a nice.
I do think that commercial grade stuff has place in homes.
I think so too. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be that.
It doesn't have to.
They
be
make small commercial equipment.
I know they do. They make two burners. Mm-hmm. And they're still pretty pricey, but it's better to have two solid burners, like mm-hmm. than you were saying, like rather than six mediocre or shitty ones.
Because I'm fine with like old school gas burning stoves mm-hmm. that are $500 gas too. Stove. Yeah, yeah, just it's better.
It is. Yeah.
Like my mom's washer and dryer are the agitator thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the tumble dryer, you can have laundry done in like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's less energy efficient. Like,
don't care.
I don't care at all.
Got my shit done.
Like, what? I'm going to pay $8 a month more.
Yeah.
it doesn't matter. It's just so simple. It's just the knob you push in, dial, pull it out again.
Yeah.
Just that chunk.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it's so good.
Just yeah. It should be.
Appliances used to be better, and they used to work better.
Yeah. That's probably true too.
I mean, cars. I mean, everything. Everything's made to be obsolete. I know that's kind of an old point.
Yeah.
People have been saying that forever, but just using old appliances is so much nicer.
Yeah, and I think that people really do easily get sucked into the gimmicks. If they see something that has a lot of these new features,
which is funny because I don't think that people. It's better, you know, just talking about the kitchen.
Yeah.
There's like a bell curve.
Yeah.
Of, you know, that bell curve meme of like the idiot and the monk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the seething guy in the middle.
Yeah.
If you know nothing at all about food, you have shitty stuff.
Yeah.
And then all the way at the other end of the bell curve, if you're like a master at cooking.
Yeah.
You have nicer versions of the shitty stuff.
Yes,
yeah. And everybody in the middle has like the gimmicky. So that's the thing about the Instant Pot that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's like set and forget. It's like, I like cooking.
Exactly.
I want to be doing it.
I agree, yeah.
I'd rather spend hundreds of dollars on like a beautiful pressure cooker for the stovetop.
Yes, yeah. Because,
so. And actually do it.
Then actually, yeah, I agree.
A seltzer.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same with it. Like, you know, I've never done laundry in my life. I know I've said that many times.
But you can look at it. You can see it.
And when I see it, the one thing that I know I have done to like help my mom one time was when we were younger, we were too poor to have our own washer and dryer.
Yeah.
So we went to laundromats. And
I love laundromats.
I remember one time I put like 2 quarters, and mm-hmm. this was like the 80s, and so you have to remember that was cheaper then.
Yeah.
But I put like 2 quarters and mm-hmm. just push it, and then it turns on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, why?
Just moving it over to the dryer and then.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Well, I didn't move it over. She just gave me the quarters because I really like to play with the quarters.
Yeah.
And so I put it in and just push it in, ching, ching, and then it just, just started the dryer. Yes.
It's awesome.
And so when I was thinking about it, and then I look at my fucking washer and dryer, it's like, buttons and LCD screen and just a massive amount of options. Like, why don't they just
were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Like if you, those washer dryers that I'm talking about, which I mean, everybody over a certain age used them
mm-hmm.
where there's two knobs, there's maybe 3 knobs on it.
Yeah.
One of them is the cycle you're going to run. Mm. One of them is if you want the buzzer on or not when it's done. The other one might be water temperature.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
So you set, if you want to buzz or not, you set mm-hmm. a water temperature and then you just click the button in and you go click a normal wash, pull it out and it starts and walk away. There's none of the ding, 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 ding. It doesn't sing to you. It doesn't.
To me, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And
those washer dryers have been around for like 20 years now.
Yeah.
The like crazy ones.
Yeah. But I really do think that there's a place, not a place, there's a market, because more and more young people are not getting married anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they do get married, more and more men are doing their own laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I bet there's a market where you could tell them, we have a one button
washer
and one button dryer.
Yeah.
Just like the coin operator, to take away the coin thing and put one giant button as the start.
Yeah.
And boom. No, it doesn't matter. It's going to be the same heat for everything. Fuck it.
Yep.
And I think people, at least if
you just did like a kind of a vaguely warm.
Yeah, just a vaguely cycle. Warm. Because that's how most of them are. They have no settings. If you go to a laundromat, there's zero settings. It's just 2 quarters, or now it's probably 4 quarters, whatever. Mm. Boom, boom, and it's done.
The dryer, you just move everything into the dryer?
Yeah, just move everything.
Remember that To Live book?
Yeah, yeah.
I finished reading that in a laundromat.
Did you?
I love laundromats.
Do you? Yeah.
Because I lived in town for a year.
Mm.
And I just did my, and I went to that city laundromat, the one on Gamble.
Yeah.
Super nice.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
They were just some really tough Asians that really, hard ass Southeast Asians, like Hmong or Vietnamese. Yeah, yeah. They were not having any of it. Like, so super clean.
I grew up in those because she always had to take us to it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, in the 80s, so many people open up laundromats/arcade mm-hmm. machines. It was just a good time, you know, and some of them would have like a French fry stand. So you just get some French fries, you play some games and you hang out with your mom and your brothers.
Well, that's the thing is like, the thing I liked about it is that I had to go there and I couldn't do anything else.
Yes.
I was just there.
You were just there.
So I'm like, I'll take a book.
Yeah.
And I literally read one of my favorite, my favorite book I have ever read.
Yeah.
The most impactful piece of fiction I've ever read in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Was just in a laundromat.
Yeah.
And I would not have read it.
If I just
didn't have this time where I had to just sit and wait.
Right, yeah.
I don't have any time in life where I'm just sitting and wait, like just doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't have a lot of time where I'm actually like doing anything meaningful. You know, there's kind of imbalance in both ways, just because
if you're at a job, you're expected to be doing things, so you kind of have to pretend anyways. And so I do think that's different. You can't just
walk around,
it's different than having those like actual leisure time where you can then devote it to something. Yeah, I really do think there's a market for these simple devices because...
Well, I think I just in general...
For anything, whether it's laundry, whether it is kitchen stuff, anything, just cut out all the bullshit.
Because,
and I just want, you know, on this.
Well, and house and chores,
yeah,
or labor of any kind, or you know, whether it's a house thing or a work thing or whatever. Part of what makes doing them enjoyable is executing the skill of doing it.
Yes,
and the more things, the more options you build into your machine to make work easier, the less opportunity you're allowing for the consumer to engage what they're doing.
Right. Yes.
So everything gets boring.
Yeah.
Like I would rather do my job.
Mm-hmm.
I could do my job all on paper and write everything by hand. Way rather do it by hand.
Yes.
Cause then I'm writing.
Yeah. You're
I'm
engaging
doing something.
Into it,
I'm filing something. I'm doing, you know, like I get excited anytime I have to fill paperwork out because I just love the active writing stuff.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's just an active thing instead of typing it. I would rather write everything by hand than type it.
Yes, yeah.
Because it's a skill to be executed, typing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so I think the same thing with many things. Even dishwashers, like, why are there so many buttons in a dishwasher?
Mine doesn't have any.
It doesn't?
You can keep talking.
Yeah, I remember working in the dish pit, and it was literally a lever. It wasn't even a button.
Oh yeah, that's the theme of food service equipment.
Yes,
the way you could describe using them is pull handle loud noise, yes. Push button loud noise. All it is one button.
That's it. Or a fucking lever. And just goes and you open it up and there's so much steam in your face.
I know,
and the thing is just, So why do these dishes need an hour to wash? You could literally make a device that could wash these dishes within 5 minutes.
Yeah, this is the panel on my dishwasher. It's so nice. It's just like heavy, normal, light, temperature.
Yeah, that's how mine is. I still think it's a lot though. I just want a lever. Just, you know, open it, boom, close it, just clean it, whatever, right? Yeah. and then I want to come back 10 minutes later, open it up. I want to have so much steam in my face that it kind of burns, but everything is clean and put it away.
Yep.
Like, why an hour-long cycles?
Yeah.
Why?
Because a commercial dishwasher takes like 5 minutes.
Yes, it takes 5 fucking minutes. And that and you want to see something spotless. Fucking A. Those things get us better than any other. Yeah.
They probably use about the same amount of water.
Exactly.
As one cyclone dishwasher.
That's the thing that really makes me wonder.
Yeah.
And if I ever get enough money to invest into like my own projects, mm-hmm. it would be...
Well, it'll be for your family, yeah.
Yes. It really would be to create, to minimize commercial products for consumers. Mm-hmm. Just make a smaller version of that dishwasher. That's it.
Yeah.
I want the same lever that opens up the door and turns it on. Just, you know, maybe just a small lever opens it up, you load your dishes, you close it.
That's why I like my car so much.
Yes.
There are... Buttons wise, there are two buttons.
Yeah.
Two.
That's it.
In the car.
Yeah.
There's the rear defrost and then the thing that turns the traction control off.
Yeah.
And nothing else. There's like there's the wiper.
Right.
Yeah, the wiper thing. The turn signal. And that's it.
Yeah.
And the knob for the light.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's literally it. That doesn't even have an AC.
Yeah.
Like, my car doesn't have, like, there's a plastic insert they put where the unit would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it would supposed to be if you had that.
Yeah.
There's just nothing in it.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'm like, I could just drive.
I know, just drive.
Just drive. I hate rear view. I know that the rear view camera thing, what do they call it? Rear camera?
Yeah, rear camera. Whatever. Now it's the law.
I know, but I just hate them.
Yes.
I can turn around.
Yeah.
Like if there's a kid there.
And you know what's worse? You know what makes things worse?
What?
Because of that camera.
My car doesn't even ding if you have your seatbelt off.
Oh, good.
It's awesome.
every rear view side mirrors now are smaller and shittier.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, what the fuck?
It's like the 60s again.
Yeah.
Do you ever drive one of those where it's just the little circle?
Oh, yes. On the side? Yeah, yeah, I have, yeah.
That's really all you need.
Yeah.
But now I
find some
which
of
which is weird because the visibility out of the rear of the car is so much worse now.
It is. I know.
Like Joe's dad has the Subaru Crosstrek, the orange one you see everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You literally can't see out of the back of it.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
So they just put a camera there. It's like, I want to make the window bigger.
Yes, make the window bigger. But yeah, they don't. They're taking advantage of the camera thing to make everything else unusable.
It's so weird.
If you drive a car that never had a camera on it, you could just use it without ever using a camera. Mm-hmm. You get a car that's made like in 2023, 2024, you really can't.
You can't look out the back?
No. Most of them are, it's just unusable with it. That damn mirror is unusable. It's like, why is it there? Just because it existed for a long time.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Like, if I had $10,000 to spend on the car, I'd buy like a pristine 89 Corolla or something.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I'm committed. I really will never drive. I mean,
yeah.
I won't drive a car with a rear view camera thing.
I know.
I won't do it. I will continue to buy older and shittier cars.
Yeah. Until they.
Which is funny because I have like Bill.
Yeah.
He'll hook me up.
Yes. Yeah.
We're fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably still going to be another 40 years. Before they're just completely unusable.
40.
I still think there is.
Car history, 40, I don't know.
I think in 40 years,
I'm trying to think of
still,
anything.
You could still drive like a 2005.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still going to, you're still going to reach.
Well, the thing with like General Motors is they haven't changed their parts hardly at all.
Yeah.
Like you can, the parts in a car from 1982 are similar to the ones in 2008.
Oh, yeah.
You can just swap them out.
Yeah. So yeah, I think you probably could make the rest of your life never having to drive it. Mm-hmm. But the generation after you, they probably won't. It would just be too hard to find.
Well, I don't even know if we'll be driving. I just don't even know what
just the electric
the
cars
world
probably.
Will look like.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with electric cars in principle.
Yeah. I think the only thing I have a problem with them is when they're trying to say that it's more eco-friendly.
Yes. Yeah. When they're like, it's me. Once you tell me, I'm fine with the thing until you tell me it's saving the world.
Yeah, then I'm
like, oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, now it's
you could just tell me. You could just make a cool looking one.
Yes, exactly.
Just make a cool. I mean, I think Teslas are hideous.
Me too.
They look like frogs.
Yeah,
but like, just make a cool, badass looking electric car, and I'll drive it.
Yeah,
don't tell me I'm doing anything or that it's some kind of whatever.
Exactly,
just Let me drive it.
They're trying to make it.
So let me drive the cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some things about it that I think will always be a bit tough. Just like I don't see how really long road trips would ever be sustainable.
No. Because I drove that 70 Fury for years. Did I drive it while you were at Stewart's?
I don't know. You might have, but I didn't
see. You would remember it.
Oh, okay.
I think I drove it for a year while I was at Stewart's. I think it was before you came back.
Yeah.
But a big 24 foot long 1970 Plymouth Fury four-door sedan, like big disco car.
Yeah.
And that was like baseline car to me. Yeah. Everything else is lesser.
Yeah, yeah.
Than driving something that large.
Yeah.
Like the truck we had a plow truck. I think it was a 1975 GMC Sierra with the bench seat, just the single cab bench seat.
Yeah.
75 giant truck.
Yeah.
I miss when you could, I mean, I don't miss it. I wasn't around, but I prefer older cars where when you're sitting in the driver's seat, you can see the hood.
Oh, right.
And it's just flat and you can see all the way to the front of the car instead of the
the dip.
Yeah.
That started really in the 90s.
Yeah. I like the, full out thing,
the boat.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I know.
Because one of my childhood memory cars is Bill had a '66 Newport wagon. It's like 23-24 foot long wagon. Yeah. And that's what he drove. And I just remember riding it all the time. I'm like, this is what a car is.
Yeah, and it's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. You're just riding on a couch. You're like sitting on a couch.
Oh, so fun. Just being in between my parents.
I know.
Yeah, no airbags.
Did I send you that the Instagram reel of the
seatbelt laws? I grew up without seatbelt laws.
When did that start?
Like 92 in Alaska.
We were quite late.
Yeah, we were late. Other places were like 88 still. So it really, same thing like with drinking and driving. I think it was 88 started in California.
There was did I send you the Instagram reel of the guy and his girlfriend in the bench seat?
No.
There was someone took a video of another car of a guy driving an old truck.
Yeah.
He's probably like 23, 24 with his girlfriend and they're on the bench seat and she's sitting right next to him and he's got his arm around her while they're driving. And he's just
And
the text is just, this guy's living the dream. Yes, it's just a video of him riding on a bench seat with his girlfriend.
Nice.
I was like, that's it.
I know.
that's how beautiful the experience should be.
Yeah. Like give you head right there.
I was waiting for you to say it.
Or at least easily should give you head.
Yeah. If if
so that was the thing. The
what thing you were thinking about?
Yeah, so Zoomers Zoomers make fun of millennials for being obsessed with blowjobs. That women pride themselves in their dick sucking abilities. And you kind of judge how good of a sex partner she would be if she knows how to suck dick.
Yeah.
And so
they don't talk about like DSLs and stuff.
Yeah. They don't. Yeah.
Weird.
They think that we're oddly obsessed with it. And that we center so much things like, you know, girls who put the cherry in their mouth to tighten. I was all about how good she's going to be in a blowjob, or girls with tongue rings would be good. So like we center
tongue rings are gross.
But. Yes, but everything was always centered around blowjob. And so they make fun of us a lot for that. And then when I was thinking about it, I was like, wait, they're not wrong. There is a weird hierarchy of sexual partner
activities.
Yes, that we look at them and like,
do they have an equivalent for?
Not that I'm aware of. They probably do, but I don't know what it is.
Foot jobs. I'm just.
I think they're becoming so asexual that
they're not understanding.
They're not understanding
the hotness of.
Yes, about someone
who. Because even for gays, like blowjobs are like the hottest thing.
That's what I mean. And it's funny that when it brings it up to my attention, I'm like, that kind of threw me off. I was like, oh,
Elijah could have handled that.
Yeah.
It was an overreaction. Yeah. It's fine.
But the other one, the younger one.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is this thing that they just think that we're weird. It's like, why are you guys so obsessed with blowjobs?
Because it's like the hottest thing.
It doesn't make sense. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, well, yeah.
Duh.
It's like, why wouldn't you like...
Like, what do you mean? Like, what do you...
Yeah, why wouldn't a woman
pride herself in
her dick-sucking abilities? She should be. If she doesn't suck dick well.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. It's very strange. But yeah, they're not into that at all.
Because I was thinking something like making a girl orgasm or something.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, it's a whole, that's what I'm saying. It's like when you say it, it'll be so obvious, and at the same time, it's like, oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
And my response really is like, why wouldn't you be? But for them, it's like, there was asked back, why wouldn't you be?
Well, to me, because obviously I'm kind of looking at it from the outside, but like that seems like the best thing besides actual sex.
Yes.
Like that's the thing you do first.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like fun.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you have sex.
Of course. Yeah.
I don't know.
Weird. I don't know what else.
What other foreplay?
Yeah.
She's gonna grab with her hand. Like what? She just sits there on her phone with your dick and just like gets you there. And you're like, all right, I'm ready. And then she's like, okay, and then puts Instagram away.
Probably.
I sound like a boomer, but like I don't know what the other thing is. What is other foreplay?
I guess I don't think anything is replacing it.
What is other foreplay that's like a blowjob?
Maybe the only, I don't think it will be anything like that. I think the way they gauge like hotness is like selfie abilities.
So fake things.
It seems to me. Like if I was going to judge just from the outside, like I could be
boomers right now.
Yeah, I know. I could be completely wrong, but like I younger women have told me when they think they have cheated on their boyfriends, like what happened? It's like I remember one time I was like, did you suck someone's dick or whatever? And then they're like, no, I was sending naked selfies of myself to another guy. I'm like, that's not cheating.
It's just weird.
It's weird. And so I'm really thinking that it's like they live so eternally online that it must be like your online persona,
yeah,
like your TikTok persona, or how well you could photograph your fucking ass or coochie or whatever. I don't really know, but it seems like they put more weight on that than their dick sucking abilities.
Yeah.
It's like,
which is weird because they're also porn brained at the same time.
That's probably what it's related to it. Like they think a woman knows what she's doing if she knows how to pose sexually for a camera. Which
I mean, hats off to her, but at the same time, like
I guess, but to me
that just doesn't matter.
It's so far removed from the actual sexual act.
That's what I mean. It's like
cool. Yeah, whatever. But it's like your ability to
actually...
she
can make herself hotter than she is in real life?
Yeah.
No, I know she's hot because she's faking it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like there's some of these weird little TikTok or Instagram reels where there's like this chick, or not just one chick, there's multiple chicks that do this now. It's like they're going on around with a guy on a street and just putting a mic. And then they give them an option, like, want to see the rest of this picture, or you want to like smack my ass or whatever. And so many guys pick the picture. Like,
that's porn.
It's weird.
It's porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are some real men that just say, I want to smack your ass, and then they smack her ass. But I don't know.
It's literally porn.
Something wrong with these people.
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, she's physically in front of you.
Letting you smack her ass.
Yes, letting you smack her ass or kissing you. And you choose to see an image?
See the porn, yeah.
It's fucking weird, man.
Well, it's just a... vice is a practiced. Like, it's the more you engage in vice, the worse it gets, and the better you get at doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the more natural it becomes. Or natural to your behavior that it becomes.
Right, yeah, no, I get that. But I guess if you're taking the two vices, porn or blowjob.
Blowjob is not even necessarily a vice.
Yeah, that's true. It isn't necessarily a vice.
But...
yeah. But that's a much better
If you're
going
to take two forms of promiscuity.
Yes.
One, two lacks of chastity.
Yeah.
One is you're actually fucking.
Yeah.
And one is you're porning.
Yeah. Just fuck.
Yeah.
Just
the whole slogan of the show for like the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Just comes back to that.
But yeah, I guess I just found that part kind of weird that the Zoomers think that we're weird for enjoying or being proud of somebody who knows how to suck dick. Like if you're married and your wife can suck really good dick, it's like, yeah, you're kind of proud of that.
Yeah.
She sucked my dick really good. You know what I mean? And if their wife is prudish and she doesn't suck dick, it's kind of like, like that's the way we do act, and that is true. But there is something awesome about a female's, or I guess if
you mean awesome and awe striking,
great, yeah, everything,
yeah.
There's something beautiful about that.
Well, it just means that she likes it to me.
Yeah, it does to me too.
If they're prudish and you refuse, they just don't like it that much.
Yeah, they don't even like the sex.
They don't like it. Yeah,
that's what I mean. There's a direct correlation between
which dick just Zoomers just might not like sex.
Yeah, it could just be
or that. Younger, because I think Zoomers are starting to fade. They're starting.
Yeah, you're right. So it's an alpha, the late, Gen Alpha,
late mid 2010s.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't we shouldn't be talking to an 8-year-old about blowjobs?
Yeah, I have not.
So I guess it would be Zoomers.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just thinking about it. We're not talking like, hey.
So,
you know, you ever hear this thing? No. It's horrible. Yeah, that's the moment someone was getting out of their car. With the speakers on. Like, hey, Grant, fuck you. My foreman was just standing right there.
Are their AirPods disconnect and like flash from their phone?
You were talking to an 8-year-old about blowjobs. Wow. For the record, no.
Yes, no.
Never once. Not even once.
No.
Not even anyone, really. In my personal life. I don't really talk about that. I'm quite asexual in my personal life. Shut the fuck at this point.
Well, at this point, I guess, but not really.
Not really. No. Stop.
Justin.
Yeah, the last couple years.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Kind of. You know.
No. That's the beauty, is learning to appreciate in passing.
Yes, yeah.
Just be like,
I would.
And I will. Just go like, nice. And they just walk away.
Yeah.
Because that was actually something I didn't know if we should. Wow, I've got weird wine drops all over my hand.
Okay. So you know it's a good night.
I don't think that people ever really get their shit figured out. And I mean that, like, I know that sounds really simplistic. And I listened to that Shia LaBeouf on Real Ones.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's a good one. I listened to that one too.
Yeah. I can't. You went around the time that it was happening.
Yeah.
As a kind of a tangent, I don't know. My gut reaction is to be confused that anyone wouldn't think it was genuine.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think anyone is that good of an actor.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't think so.
Like, either. He means it.
Yeah.
Like, when he talks about his wife being there on the video call and he just starts, like, crying and he can't get words out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I was in bed. I mean, I put it on at, like, 9 and finished. I, like, listened to it in one sitting.
Yeah.
I was, like, pacing around my house. Just listening to it, yeah.
Yeah,
I just was like, because yeah. I was like, I need something to listen to.
Yeah,
this has been recommended to me, and I was like, I'll listen to like 30 minutes and then do something, and then I would just listen to the whole straight because it's just so good.
It is, yeah.
I
like it. I mean, it doesn't have any of the jargon. They're just.
Well, he explicitly says in there, he's like, I'm trying to say this in a way that people are ready to receive it.
Yeah,
I wasn't ready to receive any of the God stuff.
Yeah,
when I first heard it.
Right. Yeah.
There is kind of a nobility in that.
Yeah, there is.
And then kind of later on, he starts to be a little bit more explicit. Yeah. And like, but he articulates,
but even when he does, they're just like bros, you know, it's like the conversation. It just seems like anybody can just be engaged with them without having to be pretentious or without having to be kind of scrupulous and the tediousness that I think you find with some other, with some other people kind of engage in kind of theological, philosophical talk.
You've been asked to check your phone. I can stop the recording, read the message, and tell me if I need to stop or not. Yeah, it was a very good episode.
Yeah.
Do you want me to stop it?
For a second.
Okay. One second. We'll be back. I love the like water sound through the pipe. All right. So we're back.
Yes.
Okay. We were talking about Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
That was a tangent. Mm-hmm. That's if the podcast on a practical level has taught me anything, it's how to remember what I was talking about a while ago.
Yeah, keep a good thought.
That listen to that episode, which everyone should listen to.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. Shia LaBeouf is. I mean, I've always liked Shia LaBeouf, but like, that's like my guy.
Yeah, I know.
He gets it better than anybody. But I don't think that people really ever grow out of whatever things they struggle with. Obviously, which is like a that's like a really like bottom shelf thing to say. Obviously,
it kind of is, but I think it's an important one because I don't think a lot of people.
Like what you struggle with when you were five,
yeah,
is what you will struggle with forever.
Yes, yeah. I think in practice, people don't really act that way, even though they probably intellectually understand mm-hmm. that. I think in practice, they really do think that you can get over things.
But I think that when you're just living your life day to day as like a normal person,
yeah,
going through the motions, you might find a way to live that doesn't allow the opportunity to struggle with the thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So you might kind of forget.
Yeah.
That you struggle with that. But then the second that something happens, something, cause like, that like social codependence thing that I just am a very socially codependent person.
Can you explain to me what that means? Because I honestly don't get what it means when people talk about codependency.
You are highly not. That's probably one of our greatest. I think that's kind of a negative quality in me. That is one of the prices I have to pay for my other strengths. Like it's the flip side.
Yeah.
So my great sensitivity to things in general.
Yeah.
Experiences, people's emotions. My patience with people comes at the cost of being. It's not nearly as bad as it was. It's not even really that bad anymore. There's little moments where I feel like I'm, we'll say that later. Yeah. But it's year two. There's like a bunch of different ways I could phrase it. And I want to find the one with the right connotation.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You kind of feed off of the affirmation of the people whose affirmation it's a weird thing.
Okay.
Cause it's not the people that are most important to you.
Right.
But cause when they're the most important to you, you're not, and I'm kind of speaking for everybody who's socially codependent.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. Cause I've heard that term many times, but I actually never.
You're not at all.
Okay. Yeah. I never understood exactly what
that
means.
Like you are kind of a sensitive person, but it's not just being sensitive.
Yeah.
Like we're both sensitive people.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, it's like placing too much value in your relationship with people. That's part of it.
Okay.
I haven't actually had to define it, so I'm just thinking of all the different.
Okay.
There's
yeah,
a
yeah.
bunch of qualities.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, yeah. It's interesting. We haven't unpacked anything new in a while.
Yeah.
So maybe kind of.
Yeah.
You place too much stock in your relationships with other people, and when those specific relationships that you have designated as a litmus test for how well you're doing, go wrong, it's catastrophic.
Hmm. So there's too much value in the relationship.
Yes. And I think that gay guys
tend to be that
generally
way.
Are kind of overly codependent. I think that's a pattern.
Is it normally that both are that way when you say co, or do you just mean it could be one-sided?
You are a codependent, so you are dependent on your it's not a relationship between two people can be codependent.
Yeah, but one person can just be codependent.
Yes, you have a codependent personality or whatever. Oh, okay, say it or whatever. Okay. So like I don't struggle with it with you.
Yeah.
Or like my mom or Joe or like the people who really are like my kind of solid.
Yes,
like there's no questioning anything. What was I saying? I don't remember what I was saying. But that is just a thing that I will struggle with forever.
Okay.
Yeah. I just will.
Yeah.
And I think that in the last maybe year or two, I've really, you know, I'm kind of at the age where you start to really confront what's shitty about you.
Yeah.
Like a lot of your early and mid 20s are about what's are about honing what makes you good.
Yeah.
And then once you're good at something and you start to got figure shit out, then you like, you're like, oh wow, I'm really shitty in these other ways.
Yeah.
Now that I have kind of figured out my, like you can't live the life you should live until you cut out the fat.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm kind of in the cut out the fat
yeah,
phase.
Yeah.
Which has happened because yeah. I don't have any kids or wife, you know.
Right, not, no, I guess.
So I've just had my own weird trajectory. I've had to figure everything out just by revelation, which is kind of unfortunate. But it was just interesting listening to that Shia LaBeouf thing, and he's talking about, I can't believe I'm stringing all this together. This is very lucid of me for once. we were talking about how...
It's the Malbec.
Yeah. When you see someone attractive and you just go, nice. And then they just walk away.
Right.
That's a recognition of what you struggle with.
Yeah.
Letting the impulse occur and not acting on it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how one should be.
Right. Yeah.
You don't try to eradicate the, you cannot eradicate your impulses.
Yeah. You can't.
You cannot.
Yeah.
You do not get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're your, that is impulse is as human as anything else.
Right.
In a fallen world. Like it just is.
Yeah.
Impulse.
Yeah, you just have to learn how to live with it. I think that's what it mostly is.
You just learn to say nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, I definitely agree. I think the difficulty comes when especially if your vice is sexual and if your vice pertains to other people, because the other person can be much more aggressive.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you can start out by saying, oh, it's nice.
Yeah. But no, then, I understand. Yeah, yeah. I know that it's more complicated than that.
Yeah, and I think
but especially then, in my situation, it's very easy to just go nice.
And yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah. And then, yeah.
Just I happen on. To be lucky in that way.
Yeah.
In that area, that's the one way I'm lucky. Fortune. Yeah, it's the one fortune I have.
Well, it's one of the things that I really do think that it's probably... one of the most fundamental evils about having women in the workforce
is that's Jordan Peterson was saying that years ago.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
He said, I remember talking about that
makeup.
Makeup, high heels. Like he's like, we haven't done this before.
Yes.
Who's to say we can't try making desexualizing them aesthetically?
Yeah.
You might have to make them ugly.
To me, it just seems like there's nothing that you can do because the problem lies in just the basic, I guess, human dynamics, especially in terms of sexuality, because you have, we've talked about it before, women are just the women's position in reality is to be submissive. And so when you have a male boss, a male figure that that basically pays for your life, right? Yeah. They pay for your apartment, they give you a paycheck, they pay for your food.
That's only so many degrees removed from a wife.
It is.
Yeah.
And so when she begins to fuck him, he begins to fuck her. I would say that is, if you didn't expect that, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Like that should be expected. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing for the guy. If he's working with a young secretary or somebody beneath him and he is paying for everything, he is like supporting
obviously
her.
Obviously they're fucking their secretaries.
They have to.
Yeah.
And I really do think less culpability is placed on those people.
It really would just the woman would have to find the man unattractive.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
It's the only way.
That's the only way.
But if you're like a gross looking dude and the woman's kind of hot, it's fine then. Yeah. Taste and discernment.
Yeah. That'll be the only thing. But
men will just do it.
Yes. He would, if she gave him the opportunity, he will do it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just silly to ever state that can exist, that you can exist when people are spending 8 to 12 hours every single day with that other opposite sex person. In the proper dynamics of the man being the head and the woman being subordinate and not expecting sex.
If they're both properly ordered in their sexual desires. Everything else normal.
Everything else normal.
Yeah.
Sex should be expected. Mm-hmm. And to claim that it shouldn't, like, well, no, he should just hold it up. It's like, well, you...
What like, do you mean, a man holding
yes.
it?
Yeah. To me, it goes back just to what you were saying right now. It's like, you can't. you can't expect someone to eradicate their
the impulse. Sin.
You can't.
Yeah.
And so you're putting them.
Some people do get really good at it, but the impulse is still there.
Yeah, or you just think they're kind of gay.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what you think in the end. Yeah. If they're spending all that time, they're not fucking, like, dude, you could tell me if you're gay. That's exactly what every man thinks, because it just seems so naive to ever believe that that situation would lead to anything but sex. And when you look at actual confessions from people, it is so. How can I say it's so pervasive in the Western culture that that it's obviously just gonna. I don't know whether full culpability can be placed on all these people in the Western world for that. Mm-mm. It's hard for me to think that it can.
Well, the guardrails we've put up do not guard against much.
If we put like zero,
I know,
and so it's like you put them there. A guy could have all the proper intention that he wants. You could be going to work, you could be going to mass, you could be doing everything, but put them in this situation, and they have their what they always joke around: my work wife, my work husband.
Yeah.
It's going to inevitably happen, and I think what's more to blame would be an evil society that actually has allowed that to be the case.
Do you think that the porn problem will ever be fixed?
As long as the technology that we have persists.
I don't know. Probably not.
Because I don't know what the solution to that would be.
Just blocking it the way many like countries do. I think Russia blocks a lot of it and shit like that.
You just have to make the punishment extreme.
They can't access it.
Russia blocks porn?
I think Russia and China do block a lot of it. Not all porn, but I do think they block
a lot of it. South Korea definitely does.
South Korea, yeah. Yeah, I think the only way really to stop it is to not have open internet anymore and just have limitations.
I have no problem with a not open internet.
Yeah.
I don't know that. Well, I think that there are ways that my life has been improved by having an open internet.
Yeah.
An open internet, like on Twitter, I've made genuinely fantastic friends.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
But I don't know that I need that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that was a necessary.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm not obviously not trying to minimize the friends that I have made, but like,
yeah,
I can make fantastic friends other places.
You can't because then people would be more social.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now you couldn't.
Yeah.
Because of the internet.
But I can't think of another way that my life,
yeah,
practically speaking, on a day-to-day level is made better by an open internet. I think that a fast, immediate, instantaneous pleasure. Means of communication for practical purposes is like fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know that my interaction with an open internet on a daily basis makes any improvement at all.
I think for the most part, it is a net negative for most of society.
Yeah.
I do think there are positive aspects of it.
For the government, it's fine.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, even to go back to what we were talking about earlier, like laundromats and arcades and stuff, I think online gaming, I do think social networking, all of that, that killed basic socialization. It really has been just a net negative for most people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to communicate with each other in person. They don't. It's weird to me that
because we had that discussion about body language.
Yeah,
the lack of body language.
Right. Yeah. It's unfathomable for many young people to even imagine that they would spend most of their day outside of the house. And when we were teenagers,
I can't spend almost any of my day in the house. I get so bored.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But so many people are online that they spend a significant time for them when they take time off of work. And I've known young people like this.
Just watching stuff.
Or just gaming. They're gaming with people. They're talking with their friends in the Discord. Like their leisure time is spent at home gaming or chatting or tweeting or whatever. And when we were young, when we were like 16, 17, 18 years old, it would be like, I just wouldn't be home. Mm-hmm. You'll be out. And there will always be things to do.
That's the weird thing.
There's nothing to do anymore because
no one does anything.
Exactly. That's what I'm
saying. Because I'm in my house going crazy. I'm like, what can I do?
Yeah.
I need something to do. There's nothing to do.
Okay,
I go to Costco.
Yeah. There's nothing. When you think about where can
there like a 13... is not a decent breakfast restaurant in Eagle River.
Yeah.
That's insane.
But even just to meet randos, mm-hmm. you know, like even just in Anchorage, Alaska, you push the time back to 1993, 1994.
Fifth Avenue Mall, bitches.
Yes. Yeah. And let's say you were 13, 14 years old. There would be places to go. There was
Remember that Kinley's restaurant?
Yeah.
Under Moose's Tooth was a club.
Like yeah, it was a club.
Yep. Yeah, my mom used to go there.
Did she? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
That's what I mean. There was like little places where we just meet random people.
Yeah.
And you could hang out there for hours.
That was weird as I met somebody at work. Mm-hmm. Just a patient.
Yeah.
And I think he's 2 months older than me.
Yeah.
I was so close to being like, hey, do you want to go like do something?
Yeah.
Because he's military and like one of his military buddies was just coming to pick him up. And we just had this like 2 hour conversation. And I was like,
yeah.
And he's got some kind of Hispanic last name. I was like,
yeah, yeah.
Father Leo Walsh. Mm-hmm. When I met with them a couple times, like he's like, they do some kind of young adult thing or whatever.
Oh, right.
I mean, I am a young adult, but I'm starting to kind of just be an adult.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not an old adult, but I'm not really a young adult anymore.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, I just come and do it. I'm thinking about going and doing it. Cause it's like, just go and talk.
Yeah. Just to have random encounters.
I've been reading, mm-hmm. which is weird.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing.
Yeah.
I do feel like a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Reading. I feel like I shouldn't admit it out loud that I'm reading. And I'm reading fiction.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Like, especially for our kind of like diatribes against reading. I engaging a piece of media.
Yeah.
Like for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't felt as much leisure ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think it's because it engages so much of the mind.
Yes. Yeah.
To read.
Yeah.
That you cannot think about anything else. Because if I'm like, you know, my leisure time is spent gaming, I'm on the same device I use to contact people on Twitter or Discord or whatever.
Yeah. So
you're or like if I'm watching something on HBO, if I'm watching my cooking show or whatever, I'm also on my phone. I have the opportunity to also be on my phone, and that's having passive. If you're reading, you're just reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll be reading and I'll like kind of, you know, check back in, like kind of come to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've read 15 pages.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just immersed.
Yeah.
It's weird. Awesome. I'm kind of loving it.
Yeah. That's good.
Cause I have several Lent things.
Yeah.
One of my Lent things I've kind of decided wasn't really, I kind of workshopped it out.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, I just can't surf YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Like just surfing YouTube.
Yeah.
And I just, over time, I was like, that's something I wanted to do anyway. And like,
it
wasn't really a Lent thing. I was just using Lent as an excuse to not do it.
Yeah.
And now I'm not doing it. I'm not just mindlessly watching YouTube videos.
Okay. Yeah.
Cause I mean, I went to the university 9 years ago, 10 years ago. Mm. I was like 19, 20. I don't remember how old I was. But I have been doing that for 10 years straight, uninterrupted.
Oh, wow.
I've been on social media for 12, 13 years, uninterrupted.
Yeah.
Nonstop. And I was if I can just stop scrolling YouTube, I'll have time for other stuff. I was just calculating it.
Yeah.
And now that I'm reading, I'm not doing it anyway.
Yeah.
It's like my leisure time feels more worthwhile, which is weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a giant hypocrite.
Reading
No, I just think it's funny that we're like, oh, reading is stupid. Now I'm like reading a ton.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a ton, relatively speaking.
Yeah, and it isn't so much that reading is stupid. I just think the act of reading is laborious.
But I think it's the labor that makes it, that for me right now, in my circumstance, is good.
Yeah. Well, the thing that, I don't know if I talked about this at the last episode or something, but the thing that I kind of discovered And I don't know how accurate it is, but apparently from everything that you could find online, it seems very accurate, that the difficulties that I have with reading are all 100% symptoms of dyslexia.
Like cognitive?
Yeah.
I could see you being dyslexic because you're bad at spelling and you don't even notice it.
Yeah.
You are too smart to have that bad of a handle on writing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And when I was researching it, everything that people that are dyslexic, I did.
Which kind of dyslexia is it?
I can't remember the name. Blur? No, they don't blur. Or do
the letters switch around?
And so, no, nothing switches around. It's that the way that is that is described is reading one sentence for me is as mentally laborious as doing a long division problem.
Yeah.
And so just imagine if you read a whole paragraph.
Yeah.
Just imagine
so doing about 10. So if math were like switched.
Yes. Yeah. And so it'll be like doing 10 or 15 of them. So now then think about reading a whole chapter. Mm-hmm. It's like doing pages and pages of like multiplication, division. Like after 10 pages, most people will be like, I'm kind of done with this. Mm-hmm.
Something I noticed mm-hmm. when I was, you know, I'm still working on I have a stack of books.
Yeah.
One is The Complete Stories by Flannery O'Connor. Giant. Yeah. It's like that thick.
Yeah.
Of just her short stories.
Nice.
Which is nice because that was kind of a warm up.
Yeah.
Because I had to learn to read.
Yeah.
In a way. Like yeah, I had to yeah. learn to read efficiently or in a way that wasn't painful.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, 12 pages. I'm like, all right, I'll just, you know, I would take two bookmarks.
Yeah.
And I would put one at the end of where I was going to read. And then I would put one where I was going to come back and I would open the book up and I'd have that one bookmark at the end of the short story or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, just read the bookmark.
Oh yeah.
And then I'd get caught up in, but I only have 8 more pages. If I'm getting tripped up, whatever, it'll take me like 20 minutes. It's not a big deal. It's fine. And then after half of that, like 300 pages of short stories, I'm like, I've it's like the first 3 weeks of running every day.
Yeah.
You hate it.
Yeah.
And then after a while, running becomes natural. Your body's adjusted to it. Like or lifting or whatever. Just becomes part. And like now I'm like picking up giant books to like,
right.
And I'm buzzing through it.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know.
No, and it's probably good because, I mean, for you, it might just be
because I actually think that I suffered. It used to be worse.
Yeah.
But I used to be reading and then the words would turn into like blurred blocks.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a form. I don't know that it was dyslexia. Yeah. I haven't.
Yeah, and like I haven't gotten tested, but literally everything that they were saying is what I've been saying. The other thing for me was bad short-term memory, apparently is a sign of dyslexia. Mm-hmm. Like the inability to remember people's names was another one.
Because I don't have that at all.
Yeah, I do.
I'm a name savant.
Yeah, no. The other one was, because like I forget where I park my car every single time. Mm-hmm. I don't know people's names. I made up names for all my students.
I think that that's a problem with spatial memory.
Yeah.
Well, because you also can't find stuff.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Yep. And
they say that that's another quality, actually, the ability to find stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I'm saying, everything was 100% check by check by check. I was like, I literally, like,
you just all must make dyslexic.
The other thing was extremely good with rational puzzles.
Yeah.
Was normally dyslexia.
Yeah.
The other one was, you know, good. If you're good at math, many times you do have the problem with it. Anyways, it was just like a slew, like a 20 checkpoint
thing. This is funny because I'm the opposite. I have an extremely good spatial memory.
Yes,
all of my memory is spatial.
Yeah.
Everything I remember is in relation to another thing.
Yeah, not for me. For me, you know what it said? This part that freaked me out. It says you don't remember things or people's names or whatever, but you remember moments.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's literally what I've been saying my entire fucking life.
Yeah.
Like I remember specific moments in extreme detail, but somebody's name, they could tell me 1 second later, I was like, I don't remember, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And they tell me, like,
I think it's just an attention thing.
Part of it, yeah, it could be, but the crazy thing was again, everything that they were saying, it was like, well, these are all signs of the sex. I fall asleep after reading two pages.
Mm-hmm. This is so laborious.
Yeah, it's so much mental energy that I cannot stay awake, mm-hmm. because it's the inability to do sight words. Mm-hmm.
Like the sight words?
Yeah, so sight words are when you don't have to read THE for the. When you're reading, apparently a normal person, when they're reading, there's multiple sight words. Like articles are normally sight words. The, a, and. Even disjuncts and conjunctions, they're all sight words, which means that you're not actually reading it.
It's just the symbol itself. The referent.
It's immediate.
It's referring as trans. It's just the shape of the whole thing.
Yes. Yeah. You just automatically, you know,
which is funny because I don't think you could learn, like when I was in the Japanese program and learning that stuff, I learned like 1200 Chinese characters really fast.
Really?
Yeah. You could not do that.
No, I couldn't
at all.
No.
And the only reason I remember it so well is because I remember it. So the radicals, roots are the radicals are the different parts of the character. I remember in relation to the other parts what the thing means.
Okay,
everything I remember is spatial.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an autism thing. I'm not saying I'm autistic. I just kind of a similar thing to what autistic people struggle with.
Yeah.
Where if you take a severely autistic person and you put them in a room.
Yeah.
And then you take what if everything in the room is static. Every time they go in the room, if you remove one thing in the room, the room is a different room. They're not abstracting the qualities of the room out of the room enough that once you change an accidental quality of something in the room, it's a different room. That tends to, I'm not saying I'm autistic. I'm not saying I'm undiagnosed. I'm severely not autistic. Whatever problem I have is not autism.
Right. Yeah.
It's the opposite of autism or whatever. Mm-hmm. But with everything, like I operate so spatially that the second you start to move stuff around physically, I operate worse.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I'm so fluid.
Yeah.
If you see me walk, like I have the whole thing memorized and just like I'm just executing a pattern.
Right, yeah.
Like I was at my mom's heretic church cleaning. And the that basement room I sent you where they do their little Bible study stuff. Up the stairs is right on the edge of the stairs is this like weight-bearing pole that when I was a kid I used to swing. I'd grab it and swing onto the stairs.
Yeah.
And I noticed going up and down and up and down and up and down. I noticed I was still swinging on it.
Mm.
And I was like, I'm still doing this. Like I haven't been regularly for 10 years and I'm swinging on this thing. And I was like, I'm such a muscle memory.
Yeah.
Once you change my muscle memory, everything I do is an execution of a pattern, which I think is kind of everybody. But like once you change a little detail, I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
No idea. I have I panic.
Yeah.
Which again, I don't have autism, but it's kind of an autism-y thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I have when I was really struggling with reading, have, what is the medical term of the problem I have with my eyes is I have really bad convergence.
Mm.
So, one of, you know, I was a preemie. One of my corneas looks like an unopened parachute.
Oh, really?
So I have one of my eyes is always straining. I don't remember which one it is.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a meet in the middle compensatory thing.
Yeah.
I see double a lot more than I realize. So when I'm reading, like this starts to strain, like looking at my finger here.
Yeah.
I'm really farsighted because my eyes won't cooperate. Yeah, convergence is where like close up, your eyes will come together to see something close. When I'm reading, not as much anymore, which means that I have the right prescription, I guess. But words would turn into blurry blocks. Right, like everything would blur together.
Mm.
Like it was like I was just looking at a blurry page, and then I'd have to like I'd look away and like blink a bunch and reset, and then go back, and then like 30 words later would blur together, and then I would look away, and then I would like blink, and then I'd look back, and then 30 words later, it's just like so laborious. I'm like, how does anyone read? Like some people can literally just look at a page.
I know.
It's crazy.
It is, yeah.
I've been practicing and I've gotten better. I'm still kind of slow.
Yeah. No, yeah, reading
most has... The average person reads at 250 words a minute. The average person.
Wow, yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm probably like at 25.
Really? 25. That's like retarded. Okay, you're worse than me. We're not relating.
No.
That's like, you're like handicapped mentally.
I know.
Your degrees are even more greater achievements.
Yes.
Yeah. Than I fully understood.
Yeah, my whole life it has always been that way. Like, I can't...
Is it because you can't separate... Oh, I remembered why I brought up my stack of books, but is it because you can't separate the fact that you're reading from reading? Do you find that to be a difficulty?
No, it really isn't.
Like, how do you describe the experience of the difficulty you have? Like, what does it feel like?
Like, you're looking at the letters and then you're putting it together and you're making sounds with it.
So you can't separate that. There's a lack of, you're not because that was kind of what it was sounding like when you were six. I was like, there's, you're hung up on something.
Yeah.
You're not going to the next step in some way.
The way that they explained it with brain scans, I don't know how accurate it is, and I'm not the one to always bring that up, but the way that they explained it is that there's literally, I shouldn't say literally, there are actual action potentials that are missing in certain brain functions. Mm-hmm.
That, get retarded.
Yeah,
by definition, yes, medically.
Yeah,
you're reading retarded.
That there are actual missing signals.
Mm-hmm. I would love to have someone scan your brain while you're trying to screw something.
Yeah,
with a screwdriver. That would be awesome.
Yes, yeah.
Get an expert on. consult the experts.
Yeah. And so like if I'm going to read this,
it does sound our like
our family has been making seltzer since 1882, when our great great grandfather created what he called the best tasting bubble recipe, with only three ingredients: water, bubbles, and great taste. Like that is the way I would read.
Okay.
Like the entire time. I don't know how many words that is a minute.
I would say that I could verify that watching your face.
Yes, yeah.
I know you well enough that I can...
Yeah, that is going to be the speed that I read to be comprehensible to me. And many times...
I have to do that a little bit when I'm revving up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like when I'm doing research... And
I think my problem is just attention span.
Yeah. But. No, like when I had to write my thesis, there's a lot of things that I had to read... But that's how long it would take me. And so I would just take my time. And many times I would read it and I'd be like, I don't know what I just read. So I have to read it back again.
Yeah.
Because it's like these words that
I do that, but references. I get distracted.
Do you?
Mine is distraction based completely.
No, yeah.
But I didn't say when I am reading. I have white noise blasting in my ears. So I'm not distracted. Yeah.
No. I guess when you're asking about separation, I guess there is no...
It
never becomes second nature.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Something isn't naturalizing your process of doing it.
It's always going to be.
If you were like, if you like expecting someone to be really, really good at like football, and be like, they have to go football.
Okay, the real football. Okay, okay.
Sorry. Football. That's how I think about it in my head. I've been poisoned. Good. But if imagine getting really, really good, but every time you were going to kick the ball, you had to go, okay, I have to kick the ball now. Like if you had to have that thought.
Yeah, because like with sports, it always becomes second nature.
Something has to become second nature to be good at it.
Yeah.
That's the problem with math for me.
Okay.
I have very, everything you're describing about math is very similar.
Yeah.
I literally, nothing sticks.
Nothing sticks.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
And it was years. It's been years.
Yeah.
And I actually went, in the last maybe 6 months, I went through to take like a basic math. I just was like, can I do this better now? Your, no.
No, it's the same.
It just doesn't stick. You can tell me how to do it and I'll do it well, but you have to tell me how to do it before I do it every time. You have to tell me how to do it.
Yeah.
Because I will not remember. It does not stick.
Yeah.
It won't stick.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess for reading, that's for me. It's like I said, I have no sight words. Mm. I have to read every single word. I have to print, I have to sound out every single letter.
Yeah.
And then the relation of that word to a referent, many times, especially when you're reading philosophical texts, requires pause. Mm-hmm. It's like I would read something and then I have to pause for a second.
Well, I would say that with like heady, like really heady metaphysical texts, they do make you pause anyway.
Yeah.
So that probably would be easier for you.
Yeah. Yes. And so that's why like texts or like Aquinas is so much better for me because it is just, it's blunt.
It's just jargon.
Yes.
It's just jargon with no fluff at all.
Yeah. It's so blunt. It's just jargon and it puts you there. And I could just sit there and reflect on what I just read.
And that is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But if you give
me a novel.
Like if you're describing a scene, you're like, she moved to the other end of the apartment.
Yeah. Yes.
That's going to fuck with the pacing.
It will, yeah. And that's why I cannot read novels. There is no novel really that I could read.
You could listen to them.
And enjoy.
Yeah. You could listen to them.
I could listen to them. Yeah. I could listen to it. I still would prefer to see it visually.
Yeah.
And the end of the day, I was like, I would rather see a play or a musical or a movie or something to play this narrative out for me to ever be truly engrossed into
it. But when I was talking about the stack of books, you know, a super relevant at this point, but just to get the thought out there, is that I was reading this, that's Mystery and Manners is the name of the essay collection by Flannery O'Connor. A lot of stuff about being a Christian artist and what it means to be a Christian artist and how the Christian artist is to approach art. It's extremely Catholic, which is cool. But when I went to read fiction, I couldn't be just reading it. I had to think about, you know, when you're reading essays, you're thinking about the author of the essay writing the essay. So you have the person there and their ideas and you're kind of like,
okay,
there's like an interplay where it's, you don't have to there's no need to let the thing wash over you because it's just very clearly a person writing a thing.
Yeah.
But when you're reading like good fiction, you can't just sit there and imagine the author writing it.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, it just takes you out. Mm. And it took me like a week and a half of like trying to read fiction after having read her essays to imagine, I'm like trying to not think about her writing the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a commentary. It's just fiction. It's like, it's just, I'm just supposed to read it.
That's interesting.
Just imagine the scene.
I don't think I've ever read like a thesis for somebody and thought of it with the author.
Yeah, I do all the time.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't.
But again, I think it's a spatial thing. I have everything I engage has to be in the context of another thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Like everything I'm reading, like every time I'm reading Aquinas, I'm imagining Aquinas writing it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Because it has to exist in context of something else.
That's interesting.
I don't remember anything out of context.
Yeah.
It has to be contextual.
Yes, I think for me it has to be contextual too, but not that kind.
Yeah. Which is why math, I think, is so hard for me because there's no visual. Visual context.
Yeah, there is no context. You're taking a predicate and you're making it into a subject. And I do think that is what makes math difficult in general.
Yeah.
And then I think what you're saying, when you like imagining the person or you're putting in that kind of context, it would make it just brutally more difficult because it's not. I mean, quantity without something that's quantifiable.
There's no experience in math.
Makes very little sense.
There's no experience in math.
Yeah.
It just is.
Right, yeah.
And for something to be real to me, I have to be able to imagine experiencing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, I think, kind of speaks to the more mystical, intuitive, like I just have to be able to experience the thing.
Yeah.
Which is what I think is funny that like...
So like math without numbers, you probably would, like ancient Greek.
Like geometry?
Geometry, yeah.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah.
Can do it forever.
Me too. I would agree.
Because I can look at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's actual context, like there's actual shapes and images, yeah.
Things. And there's things to relate to one another. I can see a thing and see a thing and And there's rules that are written sentences of words.
Exactly.
When you're proofing something, it's like, this must be, it's like there's words so that I can use.
I love geometry.
Geometry is awesome.
I know.
But like once you get into like algebra stuff, it just is. It's just self-referential.
I do think that that's what makes it. I guess I would agree with you.
It just doesn't
work for me. You're probably much to a greater level than I do with having issues with uncontextual math, but once I got into algebra 2, that's when I had a lot of difficulty, and I think I had a lot of difficulty for very similar reasons, because
there's just no context. It just is numbers.
And the professor, like
word problems,
yeah,
super easy,
yeah,
always. Like this person buys this many of this thing, this person buys this many of this thing over this amount of time at this rate. How much do they buy? And if this one, whatever.
Easy.
Because that's things. Quantities. It's like quantities of what?
Yeah. I actually have more problems with word problems than I do just straight math.
Well, you can't read, so.
Yeah. I would just
word problems are so easy.
Yeah.
I can start visualizing them.
Right.
It was to the point in like middle school where I hate talking about stories about school because it's so lame.
It's fine.
It's like 15 years ago. But like, I could just do them in my head, very multiple quantity, complex equation, complex calculation stuff. I could just do it in my head because I could see it. You tell me 36 bananas visualized.
Yes. Yeah.
Now it's quantities of what?
Not just 36. Yeah.
No, but not once it's 36 point blah, 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 blah. And I have to remember this one calculation I have to do to these numbers in this context. Nope. But you tell me what the thing is all day.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which is weird. And I think it's more of an attention thing than an ability thing.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm like...
So probably, like if you're doing logic... once you got like to symbolic logic, when you eradicate the semantics and just look at syntax, you probably would have difficulty with that.
Yeah, there's nothing. It's just the shapes.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's, you know, if P then Q type of thing. So you're no longer looking at the meaning of
terms. That wouldn't stick nearly as well.
Yeah.
I think... I don't know that I've put it to words, but I've kind of had the thought over the years, you know, with math teachers or teachers who were, you know, taught things that I struggled with.
Yeah.
Like physics, I found very easy, which is weird.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like, I can do the thing and test the thing.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm right. It landed in the bucket or whatever. Right, yeah. Like whatever thing. But I don't think that, I mean, it's obvious. People have different aptitudes and different shortcomings.
Yeah.
It's raw intelligence is not enough to explain why people are good at doing what they're good at doing.
Yeah.
I think that they're fundamentally, my issue with like math or whatever is a lack of ability to pay attention to it. Because really you can retain... You're not paying, if you can't remember something, you're not paying proper attention to it.
Yeah.
Fundamentally. And that doesn't mean, that's not a, if you were to just pay attention to people's names, you could remember it. It's not that simple. I think that you are incapable of paying attention to people's names. I think that that is the best explanation for why you, for some reason, are not able to focus your attention on a person's name long enough to... You know, like when people are like, oh, you don't remember my name, you didn't care. Yes, you actually didn't care what their name was. But that doesn't mean that you've made the conscious decision to not value their name. You're not capable of paying attention to it.
Yeah.
You do not have the radar for that.
Yes.
Same with me and Matt. It's like I've tried.
Or once they do tell me, it's like it's instantly forgotten
because you it's not a choice that you're making,
right?
It's just a capacity you have,
because it even happens so like at the restaurant we have three lines, right? Mm-hmm. And so if she's busy on one phone, then the other phone rings, and if that one rings, the third one rings.
Yeah.
And there's many times on the weekend that we get simultaneous calls, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm back there working, and I have a phone right in the kitchen, and so when I hear the second line go in, I just pick it up. And I am not joking, every single time I get the name wrong.
Yeah.
Because they'll tell me, so they'll tell me the orders. Like, I want like two pepperoni pizzas and four doner kebabs or whatever, right? And so I said, okay, good. And I said, and what's your name? And then he would tell me, and then...
If you don't write it down immediately.
Yes, and I never have anything to write down.
Yeah.
And so then the moment that I hang up, I'm like, fuck, what was his name? Yeah. And then Amy finally hangs up, and then I have to tell her, hey, put it in the system. We need a pepperoni pizza for during the kebab. She's like, who is it for? Doug. And every single, like, and I think it was like, I'm pretty sure it was Doug. We're Doug. And then when they come in, every single time was wrong, they were like, my name's not Doug. So it's John. I'm like, fuck. I knew it was one of those white guy names.
Yeah.
And then it was just like...
It's just because you can't pay attention to it.
Yeah. It just
is not information you're retaining.
Yeah. And it's very bizarre.
And I think that's a lot of what people's capacities are.
Yeah.
Is what they can pay attention to.
Because
mm-hmm. intelligence...
Right.
Yeah, is yeah. this giant umbrella thing. Because you know that, you know, when I had that whole meltdown about math on the show, kind of one of our iconic moments in my yeah. memory, math teacher would say, well, math is like a language.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's not in many ways.
I agree with you. I don't like it when math teachers say that. I think it's very dumb, yes. really, in the end, because it isn't a language.
No, because it doesn't refer to anything beyond itself.
Exactly, yeah.
It has similar accidental qualities to language.
Yes.
In a certain and way. So far, things have to be symbols. Organized a certain way, and there are symbols.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But just because I'm good at one thing doesn't mean I can be good at other things.
Right,
and the yeah. better I am at the first thing, the worse I might be at the other thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that, yeah. Yeah, I remember I did make you mad. I honestly didn't intend to.
The only thing, so fucking pissed, dude.
I know.
But I was projecting my own irritation with my own shortcomings, too.
Yeah, yeah.
We had, like, cut open a wound.
I know. That was pretty funny. Yeah. It
was very intense.
Yeah.
Was that with Anne-Marie?
And I remember I was saying that. I'm not saying that I would make you proficient in math. The only thing I was saying is that...
Yeah.
From my experience from teaching people who struggled with math,
yeah.
I always was one of the few people that I know that was successful because I never taught it the way math teachers did, and yeah. not once.
Yeah.
I've always taught it conceptually first,
yeah.
and then you go to the equations. Never talk about it being a language. Never talk about it saying that we just have to memorize these formulas, just plug and chug. It's like all of that is bullshit.
Yeah. And
never,
some people can do that.
Some people can, yeah, but it doesn't. It has never helped anybody who struggled with math.
Yeah,
like I worked for Pearson's for a while, and every single time that people who got F's at least were able to get like a D or a C, yeah. and the only reason was because I would go at it in a drastically different way.
That was me when I took the one math class I took at the university.
Yes, yeah,
I got an 82%, and I was like,
yeah. amazing.
I was like, I never have to take math again.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
That's it. I got a B.
Yeah. And the
funny, I got a B.
And the funny thing is that everything that you're saying is what I actually did for people.
Yeah.
Is that I always just put it in a context because at that point I already did philosophy and everything. So I just told them, look, first thing is it's like numbers without a subject makes very little sense. You're talking about fantasy at that point. Yeah. There is no relation to it. And so I always have to explain to a lot of those people, it's like, you have to realize that every subject has a predicate. Mm. One of the predicate is quantity. Mm. And this is where we get math. Mm. And so now you're making a predicate and you're trying to turn it into a subject, and you just can't because it's not a subject. And the only reason why
it's a quality.
It's a quality, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a...
Yeah, specifically, it's a quantity. So, it's a predicate of a subject, because quality is another predicate, but you have quantity, and quantity is just basically how much. And it could be of how much of many things, right? It could be how much of whatever. And that's how I normally started out with people. Yeah. And then I say, then you have to realize that everything is just a variable of one. Yeah. Literally, there's just one thing.
Yeah.
And then when you have more than one, it's just in context of the one. So math is always in context of the number one.
Yeah.
So two is a context because now you have more than one. You have one more than one. So now you have two. Mm-hmm. And then you have three, which is two more, because now you know what two is. You have two more than one. Two more than one. Then you get three. And so many times when I taught the math, I did it with different symbols. Because what so many people get stuck on is the symbol. Because so many stuff, you know, math teachers keep telling them is a language. It's like, it's not a language. It just isn't a fucking language. And so we did math with smiley faces. I feel so
vindicated when you get like
irritated about it. Yeah, because it made me mad. And so I when I start with them, I start with smiley faces. I said, let's create our own symbols. Because it really doesn't matter. Math is so arbitrary without a subject that I could create any symbol and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so a smiley face symbolizes the quantity of one.
Yeah.
A frowny face symbolizes the quantity of two. And we just made it.
So that's what's really funny. You know those math problems where they're like wine glass plus wine glass equals this.
Yeah.
Wine glass plus beer glass equals this.
Yes.
Beer glass plus wine glass plus this. I can do that all day.
Exactly. Because now you're understanding the concept. Now it's making sense. Yeah. And every single one of the students were always like, Oh, and that's always their reactions. Like, I kind of get that. It's like, you could do an entire algebraic equation with beer, with wine, with smiley faces, frowny faces, with dick pics. Yeah. It really doesn't matter because, again, mathematics is not a fucking language.
They're just representing
a value. Yes, you're taking a fucking predicate and you're making an entire system of a predication.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
And once you could kind of get that insanity and make your own, so just create it.
What do you think maybe makes people good at it? Are they, because to me, in my lack of skill or ability, it sounds like they're just insane people.
Yes, I agree with you. I think they're insane.
Is that why engineers are so like weirdly weird in a social context? When you
ever see people extremely good at math, they're weird as fuck.
Yeah.
I think they're weird as fuck because they live in fantasy. Most of them are very fantastical people. They're people that love
all the engineers I know are extreme idealists.
Yeah. And they love things like World of Warcraft, like insanely.
You know Ethan, my friend, that I've talked
to? No.
I think
said his name and stuff, but...
He might be coming up this... I would really like to hang out with you and him sometime. Seriously.
Yeah.
We taught each other how to have a good time. Like, good. He's... life of the party. Genuinely. I'm kind of saying that almost like kind of meta podcastly. I genuinely would.
I think
he just got engaged.
Oh, nice.
A couple months ago. He texted me. But his dad was an engineer and he had like 3,000 hours on Age of Empires 3.
There you go. Yeah. They're all
because it's just executing a formula.
It is. Yeah.
As a leisure activity.
And they understand, they take fantasy to be real. And whenever you meet really good people that are good at mathematics, they think that they could even discuss things like superheroes. It was like you realize that superheroes don't exist. That any argument you make about a superhero, technically in the Aristotelian sense, not in the Boolean sense, but Aristotelian sense, is all bullshit.
Yeah.
Like you cannot argue about the Incredible Hulk or Superman because these are.
I don't think that the normal person should have ever learned that Boolean logic was real.
I know.
It should have been just for computers.
Yes, exactly. It really should only be for computers. Because in reality...
It eradicates reality.
It does, yeah.
Nothing is entirely... I mean, everything is entirely true, but like nothing is entirely false.
Yeah. because the moment that I ever got good at math, because I struggled in math too in the beginning, was my realization of its insanity.
Yeah.
Once I was able to realize it was insane, that it was bullshit... I was like, oh, okay, so let's play Monopoly then.
Yeah.
I can't think that it has any meaning. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make shit up.
How do you make the numbers do the thing?
Yeah. I'm just going to make stuff up. And that's really what I did. Because my mom was really drilling into us because I think I said it before, but she would pace around the house, yell out mathematical equations, and we had to respond back.
Your mom?
Yeah.
My mom did that with words.
Did she? Yeah.
But I think that's the better version.
Yeah. Yeah, it was mathematical equations. And so we would have to get back, you know, like what's 15 times 3 or whatever. And we 45. Would have to say, we have to...
I can do those really fast.
Yes, yeah.
I could like those little things.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when the Jackbox thing where you have to do the math numbers? Yeah, I always get like extremely high.
Yeah.
When it's just those little things, I can do that.
Yeah. And so I remember being a kid.
Because
so
I can...
So I was like in third grade. So yeah. I was super young. And so the way that I did it was just visually make them with pictures.
Yeah.
So I put it on paper. It's like, fuck, I gotta do it really fast. And so I have a paper. And it's like, I know, like arrows. And then I would add it up, boom. And then I could do it. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with change and stuff. Like some people really struggle with that. And so the way that
change is easy to me, but it's always relative.
Yeah.
What's weird? I'm trying to think of how I do that. And I think that's just, you know, working food service and stuff. You just have to remember the change. I always remember the amount of change relative to its deficit from 100.
Yeah, see, that's a way to do it. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Yeah.
Like,
I always do it just to the nearest 10.
Like 36 and 64.
Yeah.
Like, I remember it in context of its deficit.
Yeah.
Or like when I'm...
The way I do it, like for example, if something would cost 37 and 28 cents, right?
Yeah.
And somebody hands me a 50, mm-hmm. I just round that 37 to 40 first.
Yeah.
So I already know I got to give them a 10.
Yeah, yeah.
And then $3, and then that's. So I always just do it to the nearest 10.
Yeah.
So I don't
37 to minus the 28.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or the $3 minus.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when I, with those little math equations, it's because I remember this. This starts to get weird.
Yeah.
And I tried to explain this to a lot of math teachers.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is interesting to the listener or not, or if anybody relates, but like, when you tell me like 23 plus 7,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously 30.
Yeah.
I think about them like this.
Yeah.
I think about the shape of 23 and the shape of 7 fitting together to make 30.
To make a whole.
Because it's visual.
Yeah.
And then in context of 100.
Yes.
Like I'm thinking about everything visually.
I kind of do that too. I do it more in a circle. So like I would think of 30 as the whole, as like a circle.
Yeah.
And so then like the second.
Because I think about it in a line.
Yeah, I think about a line, yeah.
And if I can visualize a math, like if I'm, you know, 36 divided by 6 or whatever, it's just dumb tables, multiplication, division table stuff. I'm thinking about it visually.
Yeah.
Once doing that in math is difficult, that's the line.
Yeah, that's the
that gets crossed between whether I can do it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, I can't. Like, once you start doing decimal stuff.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know.
I know.
And the teachers, you can't, like, well, just show your work. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. I'm getting like 30% on tests.
And I think the biggest.
You're like, oh, you're so good at Spanish. Why are you bad at math? And I'm like, because they're different.
It's not a fucking language. Fucking morons.
Everybody used to do that.
Because it's annoying. I heard that so many times. Like, yeah, but it's not a fucking language.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the decimals. It was like the hardest part about the decimals is that they're still using the same symbols that they do with numbers, but
after the point, it's a different thing.
But after
fractions
the point,
fractions are easier than decimals for me.
Kind of, but they're still using the symbols. And it's like, no, everything that's a decimal or a fraction is just anything less than you're dividing number one.
Yeah. So that's, I think, why fractions is so honest. Is it's
It shows the actual line that's dividing.
Because once you see, like, you know, a 64th, I can visualize a 64th. There's 64 of them.
There are
64 of those things.
Yes, yeah.
And then, you know, a 64th and the 12th. Okay, how do you, you know, the common denominator is like how many 64ths fit into a 12th. I can visualize that really fast.
Yes, yeah.
But it has to be visual.
It has to, yeah. It has to be something that you're actually referring these fucking symbols to. But yeah, I every math teacher I've had just always pissed me off for the most part because they understood it, but they couldn't relate it to me.
It's because they're autistic.
Yes. It was the same thing
because they can't use English right. It's because they don't really understand it.
To me, it was the same thing with like English teachers. It was like fucking A. Every single English teacher, I finally learned what a rhyme was when I was like 25 years old. Because no English teacher could explain it to me. None could.
Two words that sound the same.
That's not a rhyme.
What is a rhyme?
That's what they always say. No, it's when it has the same vowel sound in the end. It has to have the same consonant and vowel sound in the end.
Yeah.
They couldn't explain it to me. It sounded the same. It's like, okay, well, fun and gum sound the same. It's like, no, it doesn't. It does.
That is a different consonant sound.
Yeah, yeah. It's a different consonant sound. They could never, no teacher for my entire school career ever explained that to me.
My mom is really good at that.
Yeah.
My mom was the high school teacher who she was everyone's favorite teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was so relatable.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been around her. She's just so relatable. Yeah. She just is so good at
I that's all I needed. Mm-hmm. What was somebody to tell me what it was.
Consonant and vowel combination, the same syllable sound.
Yeah, same sound.
The syllable has to be the same sound.
Yeah. That's all it is.
It can't sound similar. It's the exact same sound.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so whenever they would just explain it to me, I was like, okay, why? Because in my head they sound the same. I could say I have a gum and a gun, okay.
Like, no.
And they're like, no,
it's not an N.
Yeah, but then they couldn't even tell me that it was an assonance. At least I had to learn that when I was 25. So if you have the same vowel sound but a different consonant sound, it's an assonance. It's almost a rhyme, but it's an assonance.
Yeah.
Fucking tell me these things.
They don't know them.
No, they don't.
That's the beautiful thing about my mom. She knows them.
Yeah.
She was teaching me to diagram sentences at like 10 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not, most English teachers couldn't do that.
Yeah. No, I remember diagramming, but yeah.
Grammar teachers are different than like literature teachers.
Yeah.
Because the like English
as
a department title is extremely varied. That's a lot. It's like, okay, what do you mean by you have an English degree?
Yeah.
English language?
Yeah.
English literature? What is an English degree?
Yeah.
It's not really anything.
Yeah, that's true.
You care if I go peer?
Probably a lot of them were like English literature majors.
Do you care if I pee?
No,
come back?
Yeah.
You think you'll be fine?
Yeah.
Okay, we're back. We just had like a 20-minute conversation off air.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else?
Yeah.
It's only 9:20.
I know.
Oh, I was going to ask, and I don't know that this is going to lead into anything or whatever, but I was thinking kind of about intellectual property as like a legal thing now.
Right, yeah.
I think is a little weird.
Yeah, I agree.
Kanye West just put out an album.
And he put out, you told
like
me
about a week and a half ago. Really quite good. Vultures. Yeah. It's Vultures 1.
Mm.
There's some pretty awesome stuff on it.
Yeah.
It's not really kind of my bag.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's some musical conceptual work that I appreciate a lot, and there's some pretty awesome tracks on it.
Yeah.
Hood Rat specifically I like a lot. Paperwork I like a lot. But for the song Good, and then in parentheses Don't Die, he sampled Donna Summer.
Mm.
The I Feel Love by Donna Summer, which is in itself an awesome song. It's like masterpiece of the 80s,
yeah,
as far as that kind of dance track. He sampled that without permission, quote unquote, whatever that means. And then it was taken off of Spotify. Like, they nuked a track on his album for that, and the album was taken off of Apple Music entirely because of this one copyright infringement.
Yeah.
And I just think that's kind of bullshit and not how art works.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like he didn't claim ownership of the...
Right, yeah, yeah.
...of the sample. It was just one vocal sample, too. It wasn't even like... It wasn't like a chunk of the song or anything. It was just the vocal sample.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's kind of...
And he did reinvent it and reuse it in a different way.
Do you know what years that all started?
Late 2000. Well, when was the Stairway to Heaven thing? Remember the Stairway to Heaven lawsuit in like the 2000s where there was that other... Taurus was another band that had a song that was kind of similar.
No, I mean copyright laws.
Like, that's what I. Or you mean in general? I'm talking about in music when it was like a really big deal that it started to take off as like people copyright strike. You remember the Olivia Rodrigo came out with that song, and then Paramore, like copyright infringement struck them
because I know that would happen in the 90s.
And then Paramore was literally given a writing credit for the Olivia Rodrigo song, even though as a Paramore fan, I think that there was a stylistic similarity that doesn't really transcend inspiration. Like yes, it doesn't like influence.
Yeah. Because like the first big one that comes to my mind was Vanilla Ice with Ice Ice Baby.
And Queen. Yeah. And David Bowie.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the biggest ones that I remember.
Well, that was huge.
Yeah.
And did he win?
I believe Vanilla Ice won that one.
Because I don't... It's the same thing as like cultural appropriations. Like white people aren't like morally allowed to have dreadlocks.
Right.
Like, yes, they look bad, but like it's hair.
Yes. Yeah. I just think that the entire idea that I get it. I understand it.
If it was plagiarism, if you're like, plagiarism is
different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like plagiarism, I understand that. Okay, yeah, that is wrong
because that entails a lie.
You're
lying. Exactly. But if you just sample someone else's song, that's not lying.
Yeah, that's not lying.
It's just using their thing.
Yeah, and I think that's the part that gets stupid.
I think the whole thing is easily made absurd by trying to figure out where the line is, by trying to define the thing. The concept itself becomes insane. Okay, where's the line?
Exactly.
Like, what's the thing? What things do you have to do to sample something? It's like, okay, get permission.
Yeah.
Kanye West did it without permission. He didn't tell anyone he was doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But even then, like, okay, is that the line? You have to get permission or not?
But it's gotten to the point that now it's not even about sampling a song, but even if the song was almost inspired by somebody else.
If the melody is similar.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of like Rick Beato is a music YouTuber I like a lot. He's like a music theory guy. There's because just a bunch of stuff. It's like there's only so many melodies.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I remember the one that really, I still cannot hear it, and it might be my tone deafness, was a whole Blurred Lines thing with Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
I don't hear it.
Blurred Lines and the what's his name?
Was it Marvin Gaye, I think, or was it someone else?
Blurred Lines is I Can See His Face.
No. I'm talking about the music that they say that they sampled or that there was inspired.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just thinking of who did Blurred Lines.
Oh, that was
I Can See His Face.
Pharrell and that one white guy.
Hawk, not Hawk.
He was the son of a famous actor too.
So I know.
That's his last name.
It's so funny that I can't remember it.
I'm just gonna look it up.
Don't tell me. I'm really annoyed.
We did blow.
I feel so dumb. Give me initials.
Oh, the last name is Thick.
Oh, Robin Thick.
Yeah, okay, Robin Thick. Yeah.
So. I knew it was like a hawk. I was like, hawk? I knew it was a bird. I was thinking of a bird.
Yeah.
Which is a good song. It's a fun song.
It is, yeah.
But like, I just don't know where the line can be drawn.
Yes, because when you hear these
things, because nothing is original. No art is original.
No, yeah.
You didn't create anything.
Yeah.
You are given the tools and references.
But I would say something like this...
Mm-hmm.
I don't even, I honestly think they didn't even know.
Yeah.
I think it honestly was just coincidental. Because any similarities you could have with it can just be taken to how
like
you...
Like a whiteboard. It's just like a melody line.
It's just, just a quick melody line that can come organically from you producing music.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even the same. The fact that Marvin Gaye's family won that, for me, it shocked me.
It almost like, just as evil.
Yeah. Because let me play it because maybe you could explain it to me better.
Okay.
I've listened to it a lot of time.
So what's the part that they're saying is similar?
Yeah, I'm gonna.
You're finding the mark, because I know the blurred lines.
Okay, here. It's only like 1 minute, so it's going to show like the two.
Okay.
Hold on.
Hold it up to the mic.
I know, it's a stupid commercial. Everybody get up. Can you hear it?
Which one is this?
This is Mar. This is Blurred Lines.
Okay. Okay.
It's going to go to the next one soon. Now, this is Marvin Gaye.
Same drum line.
I think it sounds like a different song.
Okay. Key is the same.
Yeah.
You can't copyright key.
Yeah.
Beats per minute is the same.
Yeah.
So it's the same pace, same tempo.
I thought Marvin Gaye sounded a little slower, though.
It's the same tempo.
Yeah.
Practically. Relatively, yeah. Okay. It's the same thing. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, it's like a fifth to the first. I mean, it just is like, it's okay. No one is ever allowed to play a bass line that's the first, and then
that's what I mean. Yes, the
fifth, and then first again.
Yeah,
like no one's ever allowed to do that.
Yeah,
no one's ever allowed to use this key again.
Yeah,
like the drum line was very similar.
Yeah,
but no one's allowed. Okay,
but
no
it wasn't
one's
the
allowed
same.
To,
I don't think it was a copy. You could say maybe inspired at most.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like it wasn't an exact
copy.
That's
the okay. What's the line?
That's what I was thinking.
Like,
yeah,
it just sounds like this thing.
Yes, if there's any similarity at all that maybe conjures in your mind. Oh, but that kind of
like if you listen
like
to the Stairway to Heaven lawsuit song.
Yeah,
it doesn't even sound like Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah,
it's just the it's just the way that the chord progression descended was in the same intervals. It's like, okay, well, they own this interval.
Yes,
this band that no one has ever heard of owns this interval.
I think it's retarded.
It is. I think that claiming you wrote a song that you didn't write is plagiarism.
That's different.
It
I
is
agree
plagiarism.
With that, yeah.
If Kanye West samples a Donna Summer song, mm-hmm. and it's like they're like, hey, you sampled this, and he's like, no, I wrote it. That's different.
That's plagiarism, yes.
But if he's like, no, yeah.
Yeah, I used it.
Yeah, and it sounds awesome.
Yeah, and I made a different song with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously, the vibe is kind of similar, but the beats, the key is kind of similar, but the beat's different. It's just, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
I just don't care.
Yeah.
It's like art transcends the artist necessarily.
Yeah.
Once a great artist makes, and I'm not even saying Donna, I mean, Donna Summers is like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Donna Summers is like, cool. I don't think she's like an insane great artist of our time or whatever, but like,
yeah.
I mean, she was pretty big, but if the art transcends the artist, the artist doesn't even own their art. Like you don't really own your art.
I know. Yeah.
Like Michelangelo didn't own his art. He was an artist and expressed. It's like, right. It's like being a, like, nope, Aquinas owns Five Ways. Only Aquinas can say it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I need.
Yeah, only, yeah.
Only Aquinas
exactly.
can say it.
Exactly, that's what I feel like.
And
yeah.
his estate can say it.
Yeah. It's like, no, the truth
the
that
truth
you discovered
truth.
Or articulated transcends the
Yeah, and if
the
great art transcends its parts
yeah.
in expressing truth aesthetically,
mm-hmm. yeah,
it is the truth can
you don't
that
own it.
That truth you don't own it
yeah.
and this another artist can express truth in the same way with their own spin.
Yes, exactly.
That's
yeah.
fine. That's how it should be. That's
yeah.
how art develops over time.
Yes, yeah I completely agree.
And it's never the artist suing. It's always the estate of the artist.
It's always
the family
yeah,
that stands
yeah.
to make
they
more
money
off of a lawsuit.
Yeah. So retarded.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, I remember when ever since I came out with Vanilla Ice, I was like, that's dumb. They're obviously two different songs.
Yeah, and he obviously took the bass line from
yes,
the first thing.
Yeah,
whatever.
Even though he tweaked it, he did. That's
a little bit.
That's the only reason why he won.
Yeah,
is because I think it was like He explained it was like
the key
no,
is different.
Yeah, it was. Yep. It was different. So they couldn't claim that he actually stole it.
Dun 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 dun. Dun.
Yeah, I think his was. I can't remember.
It's the same thing. It's the first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you can't. Okay, they own the interval.
Yeah,
they own that timing. So dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
One two three. One two three. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
They own that. They own that rhythm forever. And also the interval. They own it forever. No one else is allowed to use that interval for anything else. Or the, or, yeah. That rhythm, interval, owned.
Yeah.
Can never do it.
It's so stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't. You literally cannot go from a first to a fifth to a first ever.
Yeah, because it's always going to be
Queen and David Bowie own it.
Yeah.
And also the rhythm. That's it. You can't own it.
Yeah,
that's like when people try to copyright words.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
You can't copyright words.
It's so dumb.
Like I copyright. Oh, like Trump copywriting "You're fired." Anytime anyone says "You're fired," he got a kickback.
Did he?
Which is like funny. Like no one was allowed to say the words "You're fired" on TV for because he got a kickback or something. Just like really funny, and because it's just something about him doing it like makes me not as mad because it's just yeah. funny. It's just stupid.
He has like these gold Trump sneakers now.
Yeah,
to appeal to the black voters.
Does he really?
Yes. Just like gold Trump sneakers. You should look
gold it up. Trump shoes.
Yeah, specifically those are like black people sneakers,
like Air Jordans.
Yeah,
Air Force
like
Ones.
Oh, and they look more like well, you'll see it
like Yeezys. Trying to think of all them. Yeah, they just look like Air Jordans.
Yeah.
With a T on them. His face, he's like.
They were like sold out of them.
Of course they were. He made these basketball shoes from the 80s. I'm like, I'm going to get another pair. I'm going to get a pair of New Balances.
Good, good.
Probably 993s. Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Fucking shoes.
I love them. Because that's what I wore all through high school was New Balances.
Oh, what?
And then I was like, oh, Steve Jobs also wears only black shirts and jeans and New Balances.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then I saw a picture of Louis C.K. on set and I was like, he also wears only black t-shirts, jeans, and New Balances. This is like a uniform. It's like a uniform for like a vaguely overweight white guy. It's like blacked because I like in Mass I saw like three other dudes who were like they're not like fat
yeah just
but they're so like they're like yeah. yeah they're like endomorph kind of large yeah, like yeah. obviously they can't eat anything at all
yes,
without
yeah,
gaining
yeah.
weight
yeah
and
yeah.
it was black t-shirt jeans shoes black
yeah,
t-shirt
yeah.
jeans. I was like this is just like the fat bald guy uniform. Like if you want to be a fat bald guy who has any fashion sense you wear yeah. a black t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah yeah. Which Mass did you go today?
10.
Oh you're in
yes Russell. The regular one. That was good.
Yeah.
I really had to drag myself.
Did you?
I was like driving to Mass. I was like, is there anything else I can do right now? Like, I just was like in the grips of boredom. And I was like, I just want to go do something exciting.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like driving around for like 15 minutes. Like, I got 10 minutes to Mass. But I just went. And I really liked it. I really enjoyed it.
That's good. Yeah,
but I was
yeah.
just like, I just had to drag myself. Because I hadn't missed any Mass during Lent yet.
Oh, good.
I was
good,
like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. I was just dreading going in with two small babies.
I know, especially those two.
Mm-hmm.
Insane.
And it was just as bad as I anticipated it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just ran out of there right after communion. I was like, out, I'm done.
Yeah, I left after communion too.
Yeah. They were just...
I mainly leave after communion because traffic out of St. Andrew's parking lot is so bad.
That's stupid, yeah.
So I just leave like right as the...
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's faces you could avoid
I it. Mean I did leave and then Father Arthur caught me and talked to me for a while so I didn't
oh, did
get
he?
Out anyway but
oh yeah 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 he, I talked to him with my niece's baptism. He's a good guy.
I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's one of the most like I've not and I wonder if it's because his vocation was so late in life. Ooh. He's so hungry for priestly duty.
Yeah.
He just wants to do it so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's been doing it for 10 years now or something? 8 years? He's been at St. Andrew's for like 8 years or something.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Since like 2016, 2015.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
And he still is just hungry.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not like...
Was he only a priest for that short time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah, he was a very late... he called himself a late vocation.
Yeah.
He didn't go to seminary until like his 30s.
Wow.
Until he was like 30 or something. He became a deacon in his late 20s.
Whoa. Did you ask him why?
Couldn't he was dating. Any, yeah, he was dating.
Couldn't get enough of the pussy, okay.
Or whatever. I don't remember. He just didn't go until way later.
Yeah.
Because even Father Leo Walsh was like his early 20s. Like he still was dating. Mid-20s.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know his story.
That was when he was in his early 20s. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was like 22.
He was in college.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's when his girlfriend, almost fiance, told him maybe he should be a priest.
He's that bad at it. He's a funny guy.
I know.
I know other people in my life with the same personality.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, he's funny.
Same buggy eyes. The super British eyes.
The Celtic.
Yeah, I know. Last name like Walsh. It's like, shit, man.
I know.
You're deep in there, man.
That's me.
Yeah,
Cook.
Yeah, Cook Walsh.
Anyway, we good?
Sure.
They're over 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I think we're good.
Okay.
We spent like 30 minutes during my pee break to talk. So.
Oh, I know.
We burnt a lot of energy.
We needed to, though.
Yeah.
Personal family shit.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Yep. Bye.